translation and purport by His divine grace, Sri Padmanabha Prabhupada Ki Jai. Because of Krishna sucking the breast of the Rakshasi Putana, when Krishna killed her, she immediately she was immediately freed of all material contamination. Her sinful reactions automatically vanished. And therefore, when her gigantic body was being burnt, the smoke emanating from her body was fragrant like a guru incense. Such is the effects of Krishna consciousness. If one somehow or other becomes Krishna conscious by applying his senses in the service of the Lord, one is immediately free from material contamination. Sravatam svakata Krishna puna sravanam kirtana. Bhagavatam 1:2:17. Hearing the activities of Krishna is the beginning of purified life. Punya sravana kirtana, simply by hearing and chanting, one becomes purified. Therefore, in discharging devotional service, sravana kirtana, hearing and chanting is most important. Then the purified senses, one begins to render service to the Lord. Hirishikena, Hirishikena, Sevanam, Bhakti Uchite. This is called Bhakti. When Putana was somehow or other, directly or indirectly, induced to render some service to the Lord by feeding him with her breast, she was immediately purified, so much that when her nasty material body was burnt to ashes and gave off the fragrance of Aguru, the most agreeable scented herb. Right. So when I read this, this purport, the first thing that came to my notice was just a small, what Prabhupada writes, this is, the subject of bhakti. Now, in the 10th canto, 3rd chapter, text 31, it describes where bhakti comes from, or actually does not come from. Let's start a bit further down. There are five stages of loving service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sancha Dasya Sakya Vasalya Madhurya. Devaki is on the platform of Vasalya. She wanted to deal with eternal son, Krishna, in the stage of love. Therefore, she wanted the Supreme Personality of Godhead to withdraw his opulent form of Vishnu. Srila Vishnuv Chakravarti illuminates this fact very clearly in this explanation of this verse. Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta do not belong to the material world. Now, it's quite clear, this is Prabhupada's purport. Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta do not belong to the material world. Because, and I've read this in the, when I read this, I read that, and I read this one. I read Srila Vaishnava Chakravarti's whole commentary on this verse. And Prabhupada is just repeating as all the chariots do. Okay. It's, I can't even. As all the chariots say, you know, because Prabhupada is in the line of the parampara, so he's just repeating what the acharyas say. So Vishnav Chakra says, Bhakta Bhagavan and Bhakta do not belong to the material world. So where do they come from? They actually come from the Srup, as in the whole of the, in that commentary of Vishnav, it says, Bhakti Bhagavan and Bhakta, they actually come from the Srup Shakti, the internal potency. And those who are outside the internal potency, who are the conditioned souls that are in the external energy, have no bhakti. No bhakti at all. And I was thinking, yeah, because generally we hear that the spirit soul, that it's there, but it's only there, as Vishnu Chakravarti says, it's only there if the spirit soul is within the Srup Shakti or the internal potency. And so therefore, the bhakti is, we know what bhakti is. Bhakti means, of course, loving, in simple words, loving devotion to Krishna with no hope for any material gain out of it. Even though one may get some material gain by Krishna's mercy, one doesn't desire any material gain from it. And this morning, we were hearing Prabhupada saying, "Now, to serve Krishna, or to come to Krishna and serve Krishna, there must be no what's the word he used? I forget the word he used, but he was saying for asking for any material benefits. He says, if it is, this is business. It's not bhakti. It's not service. So therefore, we have to serve Krishna with no expecting nothing in return. And of course, the perfect example is the residents in Vrindavan, especially the gopis headed by Srimati Radharani. They're the perfect example for everything. And so therefore, if we follow in the footsteps of Srimati Radharani and the gopis, not imitate, of course, but follow in their footsteps, then we will come to the platform of bhakti. Now, bhakti actually starts. Bhakti, actually, it says in the Brihadaranyaka Purana 4:33, Bhaktastu Bhagavat Bhakta Sangena Parajajate Satsanga Parajajate Pumyahi Sukriti Puva Sanantahi. By acclimation of Sukriti, one attains Sadhu Sangha. And by sadhu sangha, one attains bhakti. So the moment we take association of Sri, of a sadhu, we're getting the Sukriti for bhakti. But bhakti actually begins when we take at prema. Bhakti starts at prema because in where is it now? Let's go. Where is it? Yeah. Chapter 3 again. Where is it now? Yeah. Bhakti may be considered, this isn't from the purport of 10.3.31. Bhakti may be considered in three stages called Guni Bhuta, Padani Bhuta, and Kevala. According to these stages, there are three divisions, which are called Jnana, Jnanamayi, and Rati, or Prem. That is simple knowledge, loved mixed with knowledge, and pure love. So that is the three stages of bhakti. And for us, the goal for us is Kevala Bhakti or Prema or Jnanamayi. And this movement, Mahaprabhu's movement, is because this movement, and this is a fact, this movement actually belongs to Mahaprabhu. The Sangtam movement belongs to Mahaprabhu. And the purpose of this movement is to give everybody a chance to come and get prema, get bhakti, through Prabhupada's books. If we study Prabhupada's books properly, we can understand that those books are full of prema. Those books, whatever service we do, is to give the visitors here a chance to give them bhakti. But not ordinary bhakti or prema, but braja prema. Because the only way to enter into Vrindavan, which is the goal of us leaving his body, is to enter into Vrindavan, is to have braja prema, to have love for Braj. And when we come, when we get, because the goal of life, There's five goals. Now, the supreme goal is prema. Now, according to Krishnadas Kaviraj, the compiler of Sri Chaitanya-mrita, Ajnana Tarayana Nama Kayahi Ketava Dharma Arta Karma Moksha Vancha Adi Sabha, The darkness of ignorance is called ketava, cheating, basically, the way of cheating, which begins with resultati, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation. So, according to the so we have to accept what the scriptures say. We may not like it, but we have to accept it. But of course, there are many people. They have to have economic development because they have to maintain themselves. They have to pay their mortgage, their bills, etc., car insurance, this and that. So there's nothing wrong with economic development, but that shouldn't be the goal. That's Krishna's. That's the way of Krishna. You can say is maintaining that family or that person, but that should not be the goal, because if that's the goal, you'll be cheated of the supreme goal, the supreme goal, which is prema. And especially Braja Prema, you'll be cheated, as it says here. And then Braja Prema, we can enter in the Vrindavan. No, not the Vrindavan that you can just, go to the local travel agent, buy a ticket, get a visa, hop on a plane, then get a taxi or a bus to Vrindavan, and get a room. No, not that Vrindavan. The Vrindavan that Mahaprabhu talked about is the Vrindavan that's unmanifest, where Krishna's pastimes are going on eternally, and where only the pure devotees can actually see them. This is the Vrindavan we should be aiming as Bhakti Thakur used to say as well. He said, "When will that day be mine?" So of course it's Bhagavan Thakur's day, appearance day. So when Bhagavan Thakur, we know he wrote many books. I'm not going to mention the usual things, but try to mention different things that after, when I was in, from I think about 2000, was it four? Yeah, to about 2000. Okay, back 11. To about 2007. I was from Mayapur. 2007, 2011. I was at Mayapur taking devotees on Parakram. And one of my, taking devotees all over the Nine Islands, telling them about the pastimes. And one of my favorite places was always Bhakti Thakur's house, Suklanda Kunj, and Sarabi Kunj. Because Sarabi Kunj was actually the first house of Bhakti Thakur. That's where he first lived, and when the house got too small, he built Suklanda Kunj just down the road. And if you go to Sarabi Kunj, you'll see a photograph of Bhakti Thakur with all his offspring and family. And at Sarabi Kunj, now they got there's a brand new temple. The deities were installed by Janivas and Pangajangris this year sometime. And on the request of His Holiness Bibi Abadut Maharaj, and the deities there were actually sponsored by ISKCON devotees. Bibi Abadut Maharaj, he's in charge of Sarabi Kunj. No. Abadut Maharaj. He looks 30. Looks 30, but he's actually 55. And if you go on the website, you can see it. Anyway, so that's the first house Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote some of his books. And he wrote there, he wrote Jiva Dharma there, and some of his songs there. Now at Sarabi Kunj, there you can see, you can speak to Maharaj or speak to some of his disciples. There's a little book about this size. They got a sample of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's handwriting in there. And it's an amazing place to go to, Sarabi Kunj. But as I said, and around the corner from the old temple room used to be Bhaktivinoda Thakur's old used to be his bedroom, but now was that then was the original temple room, but now as they built a new temple there on the site land. Now that land was originally, yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur bought that land. Then after he left, I think he sold it. That's right. He sold that land. But then the spiritual master of Bibi Abadut Maharaj, well, that land was actually donated to him. And then that came back to... Came back, and then they opened the temple again there. So around the corner, there is a mango tree, and when Bhaktivinoda Thakur lived there, that tree was full of mangoes, and that tree is like half dead. It's actually virtually dead. It's dead, but not every year, but every few years, it still produces a few mangoes, which I was very fortunate to have one year. Maharaj gave me one, and it's all gone now, of course. Anyway, so then, of course, he moved to Suklanda Kunj, where is that? It's we all know that there is at that place four of our parampara used to meet there. Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur, Gaurav Kishore, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Jagannath Babaji Maharaj. They used to meet there. And now some say they used to meet in the on the balcony in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's room. And some say it was downstairs because Srila Jagannath, because the steps and stairs is quite narrow. So some say Jagannath Vajra Maharaj, you know, because he was, unless he got the basket and walked up, the basket wouldn't fit up there. So, but in that place, the four of our parampara used to meet. And of course, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, sometimes would take some of his disciples there. course, and his Bhagavan Thakur's samadhi is there, and his wooden padukas are there, everything. And now, this is a picture of Bhagavan Thakur used to worship Gaur Gadadhar, not Gornitai. Now, I was thinking, you know, why, you know, Bhagavan Thakur, he writes so many songs about claiming the glories of Gornitai, but he used to worship Gaur Gadadhar. And of course, the mood of Gaur Gadadhar is more Raganuga, spontaneous. And you can't see in the picture, but with Gaura, his hand is like this. And Gadadhar's hands are like this. So when you see on any deity's form, his hands are like this, this means the mercy is there. And Gaura's hand is like this. When you see people like this, they're generally making a point, indicating. So the mood of these deities are, Gaura's saying, if you please come and take the mercy of Gadadhar. Of course, Gadadhar is non-different. Gadar Pandit, should say. Gadar Pandit is actually Radharani. So he's saying, please come and take the mercy of Radharani. So we know about Gosma, but Sukalanda Kunj is actually non-different from the the place where in Mayapur, where Lalita Sakhi used to serve. Of course, Lalita Sakhi in Gaura Leela is Sarup Damodar Goswami. And it says in Navadvip, where he's going, I've forgotten the book now. It's where Bhagavan Thakur is seeing not the deities, but he's seeing the personalities. I think it's called now. And so there at the end of the book, he sees he's actually a Manjari in the spiritual world, which I forgot the name of, and he's serving under Anga Manjari, who introduces her to Lalita Sakhi. Then Lalita Sakhi says to Radharani, please, this is your new maidservant from Navadvip. Please engage her in your service. And then Radharani says to Lalita Sakhi, take her to your playground. That's the word looking for. Yeah. Take her to your playground and engage her. So Bhagavan Thakur's service is Manjari form. He makes golden camphor for Radharani. And so generally it's not, the chariots generally do not, right, we know they're, all our chariots are Manjaris, but they don't generally tell them, they don't release that information themselves. They let other people, other devotees reveal it. But somehow Bhakti Thakur, he revealed his Manjari form. And it's interesting because it's the playground of Lalita Sakhi. Of course, I said earlier, Lalita Sakhi appeared in Gaura Leela and in Sarup Damodar, the secretary of Lord Chaitanya. Now, next door, if you're coming from Sarup Ganj, if you cross the Jalangi and you're walking or get the rickshaw, there's a house before Suklanda Kunj. And if you're fortunate on a nice day, there's an altar. You can see some very nice deities. They are Gaura Lalita deities, actually carved by Sri Damodar Goswami himself. And that lady who owns the house, she's actually a distant relative of Sri Damodar Goswami. And if you can speak Bengali, and you can go in there, and she'll give you darshan if she's in. And so that is the playground of Lalita Sakhi, who is, so Bhagavan Thakur is serving in the Manjari form as making golden camphor for Radha and Krishna. And if you get the real mercy is there. Also at Sukhananda Kunj's courses, Gaura Kishore Das Babi Niraj's Bhajan Kautira is there as well. And also there's Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur. He wasn't Bhaktisiddhanta. Forget his name before initiated. Yeah. Now, Bimal Prasad's room as well is there next door. And of course, in Bhagavan Thakur's room is his bhajan kutir. Behind the bed, if you're walking up the stairs, you'll see on the left-hand side, you'll see some bars, metal bars. So if you go in Bhagavan Thakur's room, behind the bed, there, you'll see a wooden door. So that was his bhajan kutir, where he used to do his bhajan there. And inside that, it's anybody can go in there and chant there if they wanted to. And as you're sitting there, and there's a little ledge up there, you'll see, which is now a very rotten wooden altar. That's the altar where he used to worship his Radha Madhava deities. Now those deities are somewhere else. I forget, they're at some other temple now, some other Gaudiamat temple. They're looking after them. And of course in that room, there's all the paraphernalia, not paraphernalia, but some of the items that Bhakti Thakur used to use. There's a fan there, but it's not fan. Of course, in those days, there was no electricity, so it's worked by by a paraffin fan, and there's some of his walking sticks there, and some other stuff in that room. And Bhavana Thakur's last book, we all know, was Sri Bhajan Rahasya, which he wrote there, which is a sequel to Harinam Chintamani. And in that book, he reveals the secret of how to do bhajan. Now, that book has got 8 chapters. Each chapter is called a yama. So these 8 chapters, they correspond to the 8 lines of the Maha Mantra. And they also... Now, this where it seems contradictory, but I'll explain it. Also, to the 9 processes of devotional service. But Bhagavan Thakur, in the book, he puts the 2nd and 3rd processes together. He makes it 1. So, and then... That also corresponds with the instruction, the Lord Chaitanya's Sasakam, the 8 instructions of Lord Chaitanya, which culminates in the Astakalya Leela. So that's how that book is formed, and he's revealing openly how to do bhajan. Bhagavan Thakur explains that each line of the Maha Mantra is from Shraddha to Prema, so on like that. And it's quite easy to understand, and you know how it's set out, and each chapter ends up with one of the pastimes of the Astakalya Leela, and which is, if nobody knows, it's in the eternal pastimes of Krishna. There are 8 times sections of the day. And so each section has different leelas which go on eternally in Vrindavan. So these are the leelas that the actual qualification is Braja Prem. That's the qualification when leaving one's body. Of course, we know about Bhagavan Thakur. He was a magistrate. So sometimes, as a magistrate, he would give unusual punishments. As we know, he would clear all his cases in one day. Meanwhile, the British so-called white superior judges, they had a backlog. So one thief was caught in the act of stealing. So then he had a choice. Either you go... You stay in jail in Krishnanagar for some time, or rest of your life you chant 64 rounds of Harinam. Of course, the thief thought, okay, instead of going to jail, because I've been to the Krishnanagar, not as a resident, but to visit some, because one time I did, with some devotees, a prison program there. So Krishnanagar jail is not very nice. Even now, you can imagine what it's like in those days. So to avoid that, he started off very well, but then he started to gradually reduce. But the condition was he had to do it the rest of his life. And if he stopped, he'd be rearrested, then be thrown in. Then eventually he was rearrested eventually. And because he he was actually one time suspected of taking bribes because he was finishing all his cases in one day. And so out of envy, the white judges thinking he must be taking bribes. So then they paid some Indian gentleman for about to stay out. Because generally when people pay bribes, they come to that person's house at night and give them the Lakshmi. So then for about 2 months, different policemen, in undercover policemen, watched the house for 2 months, and they came to the conclusion that he wasn't taking bribes, but he was just dealing with it, all the cases. And there's one more. And of course, Bhakti Thakur, he was initiated by Vipin Bihari Goswami, who actually he rejected after, because originally he wouldn't wear neck beads because he wasn't initiated. So then after, and Vipin Bihari Goswami was the family guru. So then he took initiation from him, but later rejected that spiritual master because he had some disagreement on the position of one of the previous acharyas. So he rejected him and then took shiksha from Jagannath Babaji Maharaj. At that time he was in Vrindavan. Srila Jagannath Babaji Maharaj was residing in Vrindavan. So then Bhagavan Thakur, one time he went to Vrindavan, and afterwards, after he rejected him, and he saw him, and he took shiksha from Jagannath Babaji Maharaj. This is why we see Jagannath Babaji Maharaj and Bhagavan Thakur there. And so then, of course, Bhagavan Thakur, he started the Namahata program. Sorry, he didn't start it. He actually revived it. Because the original Namahata program was started by Lord Nityananda at Sarabhi Kunj. And Bhagavan Thakur revived it. And one time, I think he had over, I forget the figure now, but he brought all the Namahata groups together for one program. And it worked out about 20,000, all over it, from it, all over, no, sorry, about 30,000 people came for that program. Or he brought them all together in one group, and he hired some place, some field or something like that. He brought them all together, and then, of course, Bhagavan Thakur, we know he eventually took Babaji, and then he started to do his bhajan in the bhajan kortia, but then he was being bothered too much, then he left. He left Sukhmanda Kunj, went to a place called Bhakti Bhavan in Calcutta, where eventually he left there. And he was being served by Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj there. And so that's it. Hare Krishna.